Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
So we're here with Kevin. He's a speaker, productivity coach, and the head of sales at Snack Nation. Is it head of sales or VP of sales, Kevin? Cool. Now, before we jump in, I'm curious. I saw a couple mentions online of these weekly Sensei sessions. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on here?
So the Sensei sessions are a big part of what we do at Snack Nation for company-wide development. So every week, Thursday, the whole company gets together and it's some sort of personal development topic, whether it be time management, it could be goal setting. Even today actually was about like purpose and like how you feel part of the bigger purpose of the company, what you believe the purpose should be, and just working together. And we've been doing that for years now. And it's just, it's a great way to not only get the company together, but just make sure we're all growing together at the same time.
That's really cool. When did you guys start doing that?
I've been here for almost just over 4.5 years now, and they've been going since then. So it's been a big part of the culture, I believe, ever since Sean and Andy started it almost 8 years ago.
Now, I read on, I can't remember where it was, but I think it was either an interview with Sean or might have even been recommendation on your LinkedIn profile. You grew up revenue 11x in 1 year?
We did.
That was, and I'm assuming that wasn't from like $1 to $11.
Correct. Yeah. can't go into the full details of the numbers, but I can tell you that we've gone from 3 reps to over 50 reps in under 2 years. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And sort of last thing before we jump into the content, you've got a kinesiology degree.
Yeah. I was studying kinesiology at Madison, and then sales really was a choice. I just decided to get into it, did some multi-level marketing stuff, and I thought it was the most secure job in the world. If you know how to sell, you'll always have a job. So mm-hmm. It all started.
That's awesome. It seems like a great fit at Human and at Snack Nation. What role did Snack Nation sort of play in your decision to go into sales?
It didn't play any role because I'd been selling for quite a while before. I started working at Human and took actually a pretty decent pay cut to be an SDR at the time. Then I believe that I could move up very quickly. And so then went from SDR to AE to manager in like 3 months. And then, manager to director to VP over the next like year and a half, 2 years. So like selling was something I'd always wanted to do. It was just like a perfect fit here. And I really haven't looked back.
It sounds like it is such a perfect fit with the kinesiology degree and the sort of purpose and the drive of Human. I'd love to go into that a little bit later. Where does that sort of passion lie when you look for an SDR? Is that something that you look for when you're hiring looking for new team members?
In terms of passion?
Passion for fitness, passion for, helping save humanity from terrible snacks.
Not really. I'll be honest. I'm not a big believer in passion for product drives selling. I know a lot of people may disagree with that. I believe you need to be passionate about selling. And as long as what you're selling doesn't conflict with your morals, you should be able to sell it. Like I couldn't go sell cigarettes. I just couldn't. Like it went against just part of who I am. But I'm passionate about selling. And so I just look for, are they a passionate individual? Do they believe in growth? Do they believe in hard work? Do they have a grit to them? Everyone says they love the product, but then you get bored with the product after 2 years and go find a new fancy product. If you're passionate about what you do and how you do it, you can sell the same thing forever.
Mm. That's awesome. That sort of approach of sales is my craft. It's not just something I want to do. Yeah. So I think I'd love to talk about how you got into sales from going from that kinesiology degree. Cause one of the articles that I saw of yours that sort of really spurred my interest in this was, talking about the fact that there is no formal education. So maybe let's start with your journey from, a kinesiology major to, your first sales role.
Yeah. I mean, like kinesiology, I thought I wanted to get into like physical therapy and things like that, but then really, like I worked all through college and started getting into like multi-level marketing. So like selling, and I sold like XM radios for a while, like, you know, trying to get the 2 + 2 + 2, and dabbled in that for a while. Because the most successful people I knew were in sales. And so I was like, well, if you know how to sell, you'll always have a job. And, you know, coming through college, like, job security wasn't the most, you know, for sure thing at the time. And so then when I left Wisconsin and came out to LA, I got involved in personal training studios, and I was selling all the memberships and selling all like the subscriptions and things there, and like running the studios. And so we grew from like 10 clients to over 200, opened up a second studio, grew that one out too. And so I was doing all the selling there. Then I got into fitness equipment sales, selling into hospitals and gyms and like every hotels across the country. And then I found Human. So really it was a very organic process of making a choice and then becoming just a student. I read everything I could find. I snuck into conferences, found ways to download, you know, things like that online so I could learn how to do it.
That's awesome. And cause they're, I'm assuming in a kinesiology degree, they probably don't cover sales at all.
No, they don't. Now I did luck out because good and bad. The kinesiology degree was also an education degree. So I had to take psychology classes. And so I'm getting heavily into psychology and just how the brain works. And I'm a huge psychology nerd. I love the brain. I think it's one of the most interesting things out there. And selling and psychology are hand in hand. If you understand how the brain works and what triggers it, selling becomes a whole lot of fun.
Gotcha. So in terms of, you know, the industry, like your first article, you know, what was the first thing? What's the first sort of piece that you think is backwards about the sales industry?
That we have to train our own people. I just don't think that that makes any sense, because it's also touted as this way to make a ton of money and a way to have all this autonomy and all of those things. But no one, we have to teach our own people. I just don't think that makes sense, where any other profession, before they're hired, they have to have years of experience. Before they're even hired, they have to have a degree. They had to show that they studied it and learned it for 4 years before someone will even consider putting them in an entry-level job. But for sales, it's like, oh, you've never sold before? Here, come be an SDR. Like that's just, it's bad. And then we have to train them. And most companies are really bad at training. Training salespeople is hard. It's really hard. And we don't have a lot of true sales professors. You know, if I wanted to learn how to be a doctor, I'd go learn from other doctors and figure out. And there's teachers that are better teachers than they are doctors, right? Like, they know how to teach people. They weren't the world's best surgeon, but the world's best teacher of surgeons. We don't have a lot of that in the sales industry. We have a lot of thought leaders, but not true professors that, like, run courses and walk you through it. I know there's a lot of them popping up now, which I like because it's cool, but like these boot camps, right? These sales boot camps, and they're 6 weeks long. Like, what? I mean, it's better than nothing, but damn it, like, that doesn't do anything. That's 6 weeks. So I think that is backwards. I think there needs to be way more formal training. I think people need to dabble with sales well before they get into it, before they understand they want to make a career out of it.
Totally. And 100% agree. I think one of the reasons I chose the school I went to is it wasn't one of the name brand universities. It was sort of like at the time, university college, but it actually had two sales courses in it. They were a little bit controversial because we actually had to, and depending on who you talk to, they were either the best courses or the worst courses. They were totally, you know, not great, but we actually had to go and raise money for the school. And you're essentially selling, you know, student projects, and you're trying to, which I thought was genius, trying to get the business to commit to like an annual subscription to your scholarship. And it wasn't your scholarship. It went into the pool. But that was as close as you got. And we had this CRM system that was basically made out of paper, and you put it into a binder.
Yeah. And I've talked to a few. I know there's a pretty strong one out of, I think, Dallas or Austin has a good one. But I interviewed someone that took a couple courses out here on the West Coast and like asked them what they learned. And I, within 30 seconds, knew who was teaching it and was someone who sold in the 70s and 80s, because the advice that was given was not accurate. Like, oh, you know, say people's names, find something that like you connect with them on to build rapport, like all this. I was like, yeah, okay. So we're kind of past that point now. We need people that are either in the trenches now or just got out of the trenches or have built trenches teaching people how to do this.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, barring this huge shift, because it's not going to happen overnight, what are you doing at Snack Nation to sort of help, you know, raise the level of sales professionals here?
I mean, we do a ton of training. We do a ton of training. Just, I mean, so every Thursday, today's a good example. We have 4 to 5 hours worth of training. We break the team up into small groups that each have an hour session. And today, like the topic was like navigating the end of the call and coaching your contact. And every single AE has to go through that. My SDRs are in a training huddle right now as we speak. And that's every single week of the entire year. We do call reviews, call coaching. We do a lot of role plays and like situational if then type situations. Okay, if you hear this, what would you say? If this happened, what would you do? And we read books together. Like we go through Fanatical Prospecting. We went through Predictable Rev a few years ago. Like we just do as much as we can to, again, teach this the art and the science of selling. So even once they are done here, like they're going to go crush wherever it is they go next because they actually know how to sell. It wasn't just the product that did it for them.
That's awesome. I love that commitment to the continuous learning. Did I hear you right? Did you say 4 hours a week?
So I guess today was 5 hours worth of training. The reps have an hour training session that they attend. They have one 30-minute role play per week, and then their call reviews are about 30 minutes. So it's at least 2 hours of training every week per rep.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Can you walk me through a day in the life of, let's say you just hired me as an SDR. So it's, let's say I've just signed the offer. Let's talk about the training that you're going to go through and the education that sort of, if from like that 0 to maybe 6 or 3 month mark, wherever you look at and see a rep as a sort of ramped rep.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a new SDR, you're going to be going through highlights and excerpts from Fanatical Prospecting and New Sales Simplified. You are going to be listening to and scoring hundreds of calls, like listening to other people's calls and scoring them so you know what to listen for and what to hear. You are doing daily role plays, daily objection handlings, and that never really stops. We have a couple sales courses that reps take over their first 6 months. Ultimate Influence by Sharon Pearson, Straight Line Persuasion, Lauren Belford. I mean, your first 6 months, I mean, you're into the training machine, you know, and once you are on pace to become an AE, it kind of starts all over again. Before you can even become an AE, you just have to start listening to and scoring AE calls. You have to start shadowing those, doing those role plays before you can even be considered to move, reading like the training. We have a lot of training videos we've put together over the past 2 years that you have to go through and complete quizzes on to show us that you're actually ready and more than ready, just like dedicated, that you actually want to get better. If you don't want to get better, like I don't want to move you up. I don't think that makes any sense.
Gotcha. Where do you keep all this? Like, is this just sort of an algorithm that sits in your head that says, oh, they need to read Fanatic Prospecting? Or, you know, how do you guys structure that? Like, what does it actually look like?
Most of it sits like in Google Drive, but we have an onboarding calendar of like what the expectations are, who leads what training and what the weekly sessions. Those are all like on their calendars already. And then we record them. There's a handout that goes with them so that new reps can go on and go through it again. Depending on the topic, sometimes like I'll record a video ahead of time. So they watch it ahead of time so that when we get into the hour training, it's all action. It's not like me regurgitating stuff. So a lot of it used to live in my head. And then it was a lot of time of like, okay, put it down on paper, put it on video. Don't do a year's worth of training and have to do it all over again, which I've definitely made that mistake and, you know, trying to get ahead of it better now.
Gotcha. So it sounds like, do you guys have it tranched out? Like this is what you need to learn in month one, month two, month three, or month how does one, that work?
Yeah. Month one and two. Yes. By month three, it starts to get a little bit more individualized. You know, like where are you struggling or where are you getting stuck or like where are you like having a hard time? But there's certain just high level trainings that everyone goes to. You know, like everyone needs to get better at time management. Everyone needs to get better at leaving a great value-added voicemail. Everyone needs to get better at copywriting. So there are some things that just whatever we're focusing on as a department, that's what we do. Hold on. Someone is ringing the gong. Hold on. Yeah, check. Hell yeah. Sorry, Taylor got her first sale.
All right, Taylor.
She's one of my newest SDR to AE promotes, so that's exciting. That's good for her.
Hats off, Taylor. I'm honored to be able to share this moment with you.
Hell yeah. Makes me happy. Makes me happy for sure.
Very that's awesome. For her. Do you remember your first sale?
My first sale. I don't remember my first sale. I remember some of my largest sales, but I started selling in college, and I don't remember the first person that I sold a radio to. I know that was like my first tangible thing that I sold was XM radio subscriptions, but no, I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I'm thinking back. I sold in retail. I remember selling cell phone contracts in high school, but I can't remember either. I can just remember the sort of highlights and the lowlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember the first one because I did retail as well. So there was just a lot that was out there. So I'm going to think now. I'm going to see if I can't dig through the memory banks to figure that one out.
Cool, man. While we're sort of thinking here, I love the sort of structure of the first 2 months there. I'm sitting here thinking, man, Kevin, you're only one person, right? You've got 50 reps. How do you manage all this? Is this you doing all this training?
A lot of the training I still do, but
one of the big focuses of last year and this year is continuing to empower my managers and as I develop team leads as well. So my managers are really responsible for the follow-up, because if I just do it and there's no follow-up, it doesn't matter. It's really it's the same way. Like if you go to the lecture, but don't go to your discussion sessions, it never gets ingrained. So like I'll teach it, but then it's the managers that are reinforcing it. So my managers really never go past having 8 reps, 9 reps on their team because of how much coaching they're responsible for. If they weren't doing any coaching, you know, just like checking in from time to time, yeah, they can handle 12 to 15, but they have training quotas. How many calls they have to score, how many calls they're supposed to listen to, how many role plays they're responsible for with their reps. So it's definitely not only me. I drive it, but the whole team isn't.
So if I'm a manager for you, so I'm assuming it goes sort of Kevin, managers, team leads. Did I get that right? If I'm a manager, what's my quota for call training every week?
3 scored calls per rep per week. Sorry, nope, just changed it. 2 scored calls per rep per week and 1 live call review per rep per week. So actually taking the call and like stop and pause. Like, okay, so we just heard this. What retrospect? What should we have done? What should have come next? Why did we say what we were supposed to say? And so that responsibility is every single week as a minimum. And then at least 1 shadow session. Like per like rep, whether it's like prospecting or again, more calls or role play, but it's a heavy training focused goal for sure.
Yeah. Sounds like they wouldn't have much time to do much else if you got 8 reps.
Honestly, my managers know this. Number one job of a manager is to improve their team. If the reps aren't getting better, I don't need a manager. Plain and simple. If I give you 8 reps and they're not better 6 months later, whether it's revenue or conversion rate or sales cycle or whatever, I don't need to manage it. So that's their focus. Though there's metrics that we watch for them in terms of manager performance. Are people getting better? Not always just about the revenue, just are they improving?
Really? What are some of those metrics that you look at?
Conversion rate is one. Conversion rate to me is a true tell of how well someone is qualifying and how well they are selling. So there are benchmarks of conversion rate, but also we track it. Just because someone has a bad conversion rate, if it's getting better, we're good. It's also why we focus a lot on the call scores, because it's instantaneous improvement. Depending on your sales cycle, it could take months to know if someone's actually gotten better. If the calls are scoring higher, I can tell you today that they are better. So call scores are one. Conversion rate is a big one that we look at. Those are probably the two biggest performance metrics that my managers track and work on.
Gotcha. And are those call scores, that's the ones that the managers are scoring themselves? They're scoring the reps themselves? Or are others doing it as well?
I mean, reps have to score some of their own calls as well each week. So it's a little bit of combo of both. Sometimes the manager and the rep score the same call. Sometimes, separate calls. We do some peer-to-peer scoring too. All right, you're tired of hearing it from your manager and from Kevin. Hear from one of your peers. This happened a few months ago where a certain rep had been getting feedback for a while. She had to improve on certain areas. There was a lot of pushback. And then she asked a few of her coworkers to score the calls. I think almost more so trying to prove us wrong. I'll show you. And then they gave the same feedback. And that's what makes the call scoring so valuable, is everyone can score the same way. You could come into my department right now and score the calls almost as good as I can. But then you don't know anything about our product, our process, or anything. You can sit down and do it because we've made it.
And for listeners that are curious about, what are the call scores, you actually shared a LinkedIn post, didn't you? Mm-hmm. That shared a little bit of your score sheet there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was called the most valuable sales tool I've ever used. And the call score sheet is that tool because it gives real-time feedback. It gives trackable feedback because salespeople love to say that the call felt good. Doesn't mean it was good. It just felt good. And it allows anyone and everyone to get involved in training.
Gotcha. And if I'm your rep and I'm on the phone, am I doing a call score? Am I scoring it on the call, or do I sit down after the call and say, yes, I did this, I didn't do that?
A little bit of both. Honestly, we bought the the laminate holders to slip the call sheet into. So we got people out there with dry erase markers just kind of working through it. It just gives a good structure, right? They're like, okay, working through it. Oh yeah, I forgot to do that part. Let me work backwards. And then for the calls they submit, those ones generally they go back and do afterwards, because I do want them listening to their calls again, because it's very easy to give a call score in the moment. When you go back and listen, you're going to hear things you missed the first time.
Gotcha. We're sort of reviewing the game tapes there. Awesome. Man, I could just drill you on questions on this. I love the idea. Our sales team actually came up with something similar that they use for on the calls, that and our head of sales, Kay, she used it for sort of training our new SDRs and our inbound person as well. So I love the idea. I think it's fantastic. In the interest of time, we had talked about sort of two ideas, and one was that it's, you think the sales industry is so backwards in the fact that sales development reps and sales reps are the only ones that get trained on the job. And thankfully our surgeons and doctors don't sort of follow that.
Yep.
The second big idea was it was an interesting one that I'm not sure everybody's going to agree with. Your argument was that if we're reaching out to VPs of sales, the best person to reach out is another VP of sales. Are you reaching out to prospects yourself today?
No, because I take that back. Yes, I still do, but I am not the ideal reach out. My target market isn't VPs of sales, right? So it doesn't make sense for me to reach out to VPs of sales because that's not who we sell to, right?
Gotcha.
If I could get my office manager to sell, game changer. Absolute game changer. If she was able to reach out and say, hey, I'm an office manager of a 120 person office. This is how I work to make the snacks fun and exciting and to make it easy and save time. Would you be interested in learning a little bit more? Dude, it'd be all over, but the SDR role, it's just not fair. I feel bad for a lot of SDRs. I don't hardly ever take a cold call. Whether people want to say cold calling is dead or not, it depends on your market. But I accidentally took a cold call for the first time in forever a while ago. I thought it was someone, I had opted into a website and someone called me. So I thought it was that person. It was some other rep. I felt bad for him afterwards. He wasn't ready. He couldn't talk to me at an educated level about anything that I deal with. You can't be a challenger sale. You can't be a consultant because you don't know my world. And so an SDR reaching out to high level people isn't fair to the SDR. The reason why we've had a lot of growth is because who we do target, we do target office managers. That's a conversation that an SDR can have. I think a lot of companies focus so much on going top down that they never get to the speed of growth that they need to because they can't get in touch with people at that level. I mean, Jesus, how many quick question emails have I gotten today? Today, right? I don't even read those anymore. Good luck reaching me on a cold call. But you know who you could get in touch with? One of my SDRs. If an SDR called an SDR and asked them, hey, would this make your life any easier? And that SDR goes, yeah, it would. And then they say, well, hey, let's get in touch with your manager. Let's review this with them. Now it's an SDR and a manager saying this would make our lives easier. Then that SDR manager and sales rep come to me. Now you're good, right? So it's just something where going, if you sell a product to VPs of sales, your VP of sales should be involved in some of that initial outreach, right? If you sell a product to people in HR, someone from HR should try to be a part of that outreach. It's just sales, HR and sales don't exactly mesh. Those are different roles. Those are different people. So it's just, it's a challenging balance. It's just, it's a very hard, hard thing to do because getting, I can't remember who said it. They said opening is the new closing, right? Like in the distraction filled world now, it's just the open. Can you get someone to respond, take a phone call, agree to a meeting? That's the new closing. That's where the skill set naturally is now. And we're putting that in the hands of people that have never sold before. They've never done the role of the people they're reaching out to. That's backwards.
Totally. So have you, what are some of the things that you're able to do? I mean, I guess your SDRs are more comfortable. They can put themselves into the life of the office manager, but I know a couple office managers that, man, I don't know if I'd unleash my SDRs on them because they couldn't hack it.
Yeah. I mean, for office managers, for us, like one, we talk a lot about, you know, I think the word persona gets overused a lot, but we talk about like what they're judged on, what does make an office manager's life good or bad. We have one. We have an office manager. We talk to her. We ask questions. We have a lot of customers. We get feedback from them as well. We can have some of those conversations and they truly feel like conversations. They don't feel like interrogations, you know, where they're just asking like the bullet qualifying questions. Like they're going to learn the lay of the land a little bit there. So that's a big one, is we try to get to know what that job actually looks like. That's why I stress so much, like if an SDR knew what my life actually was like as a VP, they would change their approach completely. They would change their approach completely if they knew what my world was actually like. You know, I tell my team all the time, is like, you got to think if you were trying to sell to me, if you were trying to sell to Sean, our CEO, trying to sell to Ryan, our COO, if you were trying to sell to them, is this what you would do? You know that you wouldn't, so why are you doing it to other people?
Totally. So open the kimono maybe a little bit. So for those that uneducated that haven't put that thought into it and haven't read your article. So let's steal a couple ideas here. What are some of the things that SDRs need to think differently about when they're approaching you or somebody like you?
It's knowing what their world is like. Jill Conrad had a great tool. It's called the Buyer's Matrix. And it's something that all new reps have to go through when they first get hired on. And it talks about taking your prospect and you have to answer like 20 some questions about them. How is their role judged? What does success look like? What are things that are hard for them? What are things that are easy for them? What happens if they fail? What happens if they succeed? And like going through all that. If you can't answer those questions, you need to ask people who you don't want to sell to. Like if you don't understand what a VP goes through, one, talk to your VP of sales. That's something that I've always wondered about. Like you, if you're selling to me, you have a VP. Like either they don't know what you're doing, or they haven't shared with you what it's like to be a VP and what those struggles are. So one of the, like, we make all of our new hires, they watch all the testimonial videos, every testimonial that we have, to hear what people are saying about us. How has it made their lives easier? But if you don't know your customer, you need to call some, reach out on LinkedIn, whatever, and say, hey, why did you do this? What does get better? Right? Not the whole, like, what keeps you up at night, because that's just,
you know. If you could wave a magic wand.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm not doing those things. Like, dude, like, walk me through a day. Like, walk me through the ups and downs of, like, what goes it. When a salesperson reaches out to you, what gets your attention and what doesn't? You know how many times I've been asked that in my entire career? Never. Not one person has ever been like, Kevin, what does get your attention? Oh, you'd learn a lot, you know, especially if I'm not your target person. Like, if you're going after other VPs and I've already told you no, dude, I'm a perfect person to learn from. You know, it's just learn your customer, learn their personas, like, know what their life is. I can't remember what book it is, but it talked about, we've tried to figure out how to do this, but, like, actually, I think it might have been HubSpot. It might have been HubSpot with Sales Acceleration Formula, but it was like,
Roberge.
Yeah. Love Mark. Like, I mean, I've had many a consulting call with him, like, trying to pick his brain, loved the book. But it was like, I think their reps had to, like, they had to run a marketing campaign or something. Like, they actually had to do what they were selling. That's genius, because then you get to experience that. You know, you get to experience that, know what that's like. And I just think that's a great way to go about it.
Yeah, I think they actually had him, like, building their own HubSpot campaign and from scratch, not just running it, but, like, going through the pains and struggles that a small business person or their target persona would have had to go through. I think you're right. That is the Sales Acceleration Formula. It's such a huge point, because it helps you develop that empathy, and that empathy is how you try and figure out. Ultimately, we're trying to, make that connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I know I've taken up a ton of your time today, and I really appreciate it. I could just sort of nerd out talking about this all the time. As somebody that's been from, 2 to 50 reps, I got to ask, I read a lot, but I suspect you read a little bit more than I do. What have been your top sort of 3 favorite books along that journey?
I guess it depends on the category. So I'll ask the question back. Yeah. Are they management books? Are they sales books? Are they leadership books? Because there's different, it depends on what your goal is. So what category do you want those books from?
Gotcha. I will email you afterwards, and I'll ask for your top 3 for each, because I get the feeling you've got an index running in your head. But can you give us one highlight from each? Sales, leadership, management?
Management, Sales Manager Survival Guide by David Brock, and Cracking the Sales Management Code by Jason Jordan are 2 of my absolute favorites there. On call it like the SDR prospecting side, Fanatical Prospecting, Jeb Blount, New Sales Simplified, Mike Weinberg for sure. And then closing, you know what? I'll give you one that not many people know about. I haven't heard anyone recommend it or go through. It's called 21 Brain Scripts for Selling Success. 21, yeah, Brain Scripts for Sales Success, 21 Hidden Principles of Consumer Psychology. It's really good, and not a lot of people know about it, but it gets into some psychology stuff there that's very powerful. So I'll leave that one out there and see if people actually do anything with it.
That's awesome. I'm going to put links to all these books in the show notes. I'm also going to, Kevin, I'll email you after this, and we can, and I'll get those sort of the top 3 for each of those categories. But I think it's a great place to sort of wrap this up. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. If anybody here is on the call and they're like, Kevin, you are a guy I want to work for, or maybe even a guy I'm going to try and sell to if they have it in them, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
I would start with LinkedIn. Go ahead and shoot me a note on LinkedIn. I think it's Snack Nation KD as the link, but find me on LinkedIn, shoot me a personalized note, and see where it goes.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.